Since the dawn of the industrial age, which was almost 200 years ago when we started to do mass production and stopped making things one at a time, the pace and the complexity of life have certainly multiplied over and over again. No longer is it the seasons, no longer is it the weather, nor the sun that sets the cycle of our days, nor the cycle of our years and our lives. The urbanization that resulted from industrialization has only increased the stress and the pressure that most of us feel on our lives. And just as others, the Christian feels this pressure, this rush, this complexity in today's life. In rush and in business, it seems like many people have lost their direction. And that, too, becomes apparent often in the church. Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland came to the meeting of many roads. And confused as to which direction to go, she asked the Cheshire Cat. Said, "Cheshire Puss, would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" The cat's answer was, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get." "Oh, I don't much care where," said Alice. "Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go." Our problem oftentimes as Christians is we don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're to be doing. We're confused with the complexity and the pressures of life, and there seem to be many roads, and we're unsure which one we should take. The thing is, God made each of us, and He gave to each of us a reason for being here, a purpose and a direction for life. And Christians of all people ought to know what their priorities are. They ought to know what it is their life should be like. Now, all of our lives have some direction. And probably it wouldn't take long to find out what the direction of your life is. But having said that, it might be that your direction is not the direction that the Lord wants you to be going in. I want to speak over the next few weeks about some basic decisions that Christians must make. Basic choices that we have to make. And one of those choices is, what is going to be the first priority of my life? Now, if you looked at the world around us today, you could easily come up with a short list or maybe a long list of what are the first priorities of people's lives. For some people, it's the motorcycle. I mean, they work and they have to go to work, but boy, anytime they get on that motorcycle, that's it. For some, it's bowling. I mean, they're at the bowling alley trying to get a few extra points on their score over and over again. For some, it's fishing. Getting on that boat and fishing. And they may do many other things. They may have a family and they may have friends. But you know what their priority is. Because every chance they get, they're out there doing that thing. What is it that's supposed to be the first priority of the Christian? That great English preacher by the name of G. Campbell Morgan once said, "No life is complete that does not feel upon it some great compulsion driving it." Luis Palau, what's his great compulsion? Anybody want to guess what his great compulsion is? The salvation of lost souls. Wouldn't you say that? Salvation of people, if you know Luis Palau. That's where his heart beats. It's not in building organizations. It's not even in holding crusades. Crusades are a means to an end. It's the salvation of souls. He has a great compulsion driving his life. And so even in bad and poor health, he's going to go to Bogota, God willing, and he's going to be able to preach to that crowd of tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people who will listen over the media. What compulsion is it that drives your life? What is it that comes first in your life? What is it that you are trying to achieve? Whatever it is, your goals or priorities are the centers around which your life is organized, and therefore we can tell a lot about you just by looking at the organization and activities of your life. Now, if you want to have a truly Christian life, where would you organize the center of your life? Around what priority would your life be focused? Well, the answer is not hard to discover, and so I want to ask you to look with me at the priorities of Christian life. The undeniable first place thing or person for Christians. The choice that you must make of what your first priority will be. So if you have a Bible, turn in Matthew's Gospel to the 6th chapter. It would be on page 838 in the Pew Bible, 838 in the Pew Bible. Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, and verse 33. Now, it's interesting the context in which Jesus is speaking, because it's a context that certainly speaks of our complex and pressure-packed lives today and how we react to them. But notice what he says in verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Did you notice what Jesus said there to do first? There were really two things. The first one was to seek His kingdom. Now, the most important decision you can ever make in life is the decision to enter His kingdom. And do you remember that Jesus said, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you're going to be in the kingdom of God, it's going to be because you've been born again of the Spirit of God. You've been saved. But after I have entered into the kingdom of God, then my next priority should be to serve within that kingdom. My next desire should be to obey the laws of that kingdom. My next desire should be to live in subjection to the king of that kingdom. And then I should want, as the king wants, to extend that kingdom's reach to the far corners of the earth and in every heart and soul of the people that I know. I would want first to seek the kingdom of God. Now, is that one of your top priorities, to seek the kingdom of God? The second is to seek His righteousness. Now, righteousness is sometimes used in the New Testament to refer to our right standing with God, to seek the righteousness that only comes from God. You may remember Paul talking about that. He talked about how his life had been filled with all kinds of good things. He had a high pedigree. He came from the right families. He'd had the right education. And he was a law keeper and zealous for the Jewish laws and the Jewish commandments. But he said, when I met Christ, I threw all that stuff behind me. I said it was not worth it anymore. He said, what I really want is I want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own, but the righteousness which is from God. It's a gift, my friend. God imputes, He gives His righteousness to us when we bow in repentance and faith and receive Christ as our personal Savior. But there's a second kind of righteousness. It's a righteousness that Jesus often talks about when He gives us the Sermon on the Mount. And that's righteous living, right living with others, treating others the way that we should. And so when we're to seek His righteousness, we're to seek righteousness in life. We're to seek after doing the right thing for other people, laying aside sin, and making sure that we live righteously. So the first and chief priority that Jesus would give us here in this passage for our life is to put God in first place and everything else underneath that in some way. to put God first, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness above everything else. Now, he makes that extraordinarily clear when he answers a question that is asked to him back in the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel. So if you'll turn there, that's on page 856, but chapter 22 and verses 36 through 38. Someone came up to Jesus, verse 36, and said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" That's a really good question, isn't it? What's the greatest of the commandments? I mean, remember, there's a commandment in the law that says you shall not seethe a kid in its mother's milk. Kid meaning a baby goat, okay? You're not supposed to seethe a kid in its mother's milk. Now, is that the greatest commandment in the law? Well, we certainly probably would automatically rule that one out. We would say, not only do I not understand that one, not only am I unlikely to be guilty of that one, but in fact, I don't think that's the greatest commandment. So, but which among the others that we would think are pretty important would they be? And so Jesus answers, and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." By the way, which of the Ten Commandments is that? Which of the Ten Commandments? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4? Who wants to hazard a guess? Which one is it? It's a trick question. It isn't any one of the Ten Commandments. It isn't one of the Ten Commandments. I'm sure that that's what this lawyer expected that Jesus would do. He would pick one of the ten. Honor the Sabbath, you know, don't commit adultery, do not bear false witness. He would have picked one of those to be the top one. But Jesus didn't. Jesus always avoided the traps that were being set for them and elevated the standards. And so it wasn't just the greatest commandment was to honor the Sabbath day. The greatest commandment was to do what's this statement comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It's known in the Hebrew among Jews as the Shema. Okay? The great confession. The Lord our God is one. But he goes on to say, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now here's the great commandment, Jesus said. Everything else flows from that commandment. And that is to love God with all of my heart, to love God with all of my soul or my the rest that I am as a person, my personality, my desires, my ambitions, and then to love God with all of my mind, with every thought that I have. All of my love, all of my thoughts, all of my energies are to be focused on God and above everything else that's in this earth. You see, the first decision that I need to make as a Christian is that God will have first place in my life. He will be first in my priorities. He will be first in my love. Back in the years ago, there was a newspaper came out called the Quay County Sun. It was in New Mexico. And it was in the want ads. And it read like this: farmer with 160 irrigated acres wants marriage-minded woman with tractor. That's not all it said. When replying, please show picture of tractor. Well, I doubt he got any women that were interested. But you know what he was looking for? He's looking for the evidence that this woman had what he was looking for. Give me the evidence. Give me the evidence that you're genuinely a Christian. And when I see you putting God first, even to your own expense, to your own cost, to your own suffering, to your own loss, when I see you putting God ahead of others and really putting yourself ahead of yourself and putting yourself way down on the list of those who get taken care of, then you're showing me the picture of the tractor. It's not just talk. You've got it. You've got that genuine relationship with God. He's first in your life. Priority number one for the Christian, the first decision we need to make is that we will love and serve God with all of our heart and with all of our life. Yeah, that really helps us clarify a whole lot of things. It means that in everything that I do, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to find out how He comes first in my business, when I'm going to school, when I'm relating to my kids or my wife, when I'm dealing with decisions about my money, or when I'm trying to make a decision about some job or some opportunity that comes my way. I'm going to try to put God ahead in all of those things and make sure that none of those things would come before God. I would always want to give God the first and the best part of everything that I am and everything that I have. I'd always want to be able to serve God before I served anything else in life. Now think about it for just a minute. All truly successful people have their priorities straight. And they govern their lives by their priorities. Some of you remember the great football coach, Tom Landry. Anybody remember Tom Landry? Tom Landry was for years, 20 years, great successful head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I was a Dallas Cowboy fan back then. Not anymore. When they fired Tom Landry, that was the end of the Dallas Cowboys. Okay? I thought they were going off to purgatory someplace, or should. But, or at least the ownership should. But they fired Tom. Tom Landry was an extraordinary gentleman and a Christian man. And he met with some Baylor University students. Baylor's a college down in Texas. And so he met with some Baylor University students. This is a long time ago now, 1978. Some of you don't even know what 1978 looked like. But they asked him back then. They said, Mr. Landry, why are you so successful? What would you attribute your success to? And you might expect him to say, well, I know other teams so extraordinarily well, or I'm just really good at guessing the kind of talents that people have, or people really listen to me, you know, or I've got a way to get over on these guys so that they always give me more than they think that they should. He asked, why are they so successful? And he said this. He said, in 1958, I did something everyone who has been successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life. And for me, they were God, family, and then football. Why are you successful, Mr. Landry? Because God is my first priority. And everything else comes after that. Now, how does this priority apply to my life? Well, we can look to some biblical examples of how this priority of putting God first is supposed to actually work out in our life. For instance, God is to have first priority through our worship and our love. You notice in Leviticus chapter 26, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. It says, you shall not make for yourself idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. God very clearly says that in worship, nothing is supposed to come before me. There's to be nothing that you love more than me, nothing that you bow down to more than me. Is that true in your life? Would you bow down to work to your job in order to keep your job rather than bowing down to God and being faithful to Him? Would you bow down to getting a bigger paycheck and worship the God of money rather than take a smaller paycheck and make sure God is in first place in your life? There's so many different ways in which idols of the heart can come. So many different forms. And whenever there's an idol, God is no longer in first place. And so in our worship, we must only pursue God not the things that God has made, not the honors that the world can bestow, not the material possessions that so many others seem to think are important. That leads us to the next priority. God must take priority over our possessions. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19? He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures where? On earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, when it comes to my possessions, God must come first. And that means heavenly riches are far more important than earthly riches. Being sure that when I get to heaven, I get a God saying to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," rather than making sure that my employer or my nation or my circle of friends says, "Well done, you've really accomplished a lot. You're a great guy. You've really done well." God must come first when it comes to my possessions, and I have to be willing to lay aside possessions in order to follow Him. In Exodus chapter 22, it says, "You shall not delay offering from your harvest and your vintage. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me." In chapter 23, he says, "You shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God." God took priority over the possessions of the people. Even the firstborn children of the people had to be dedicated to Him. So, in terms of your material possessions, God must take priority over those things. And if it means losing some of those things or giving some of those things to God, you prove that He's first by allowing that to happen. Priority in money. That shouldn't be surprising. "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced them with many griefs." I'm not to love money. I'm to love what? God. I'm to love God with all of my heart and my soul and my mind. Not my money, okay? I like to tell sometimes my childhood joy and delight in reading comic books, because I was never allowed to spend my money on comic books. There would be no comic books in my house, according to my mother. But I had a friend who had a big stack of comic books. And you may remember, there was a Donald Duck comic book for a long time. I don't know if there still is. But Donald had a rich uncle. Does anybody remember what his name was? Scrooge McDuck. Candy, you read comic books. All right, you know Scrooge McDuck. Almost always, at some point in the comic, you would see Scrooge McDuck in his vault. You know, the steel walls around his vault. And he's got this huge pile of money. And he's sitting in his pile of gold coins, and he's throwing them in the air, or he's counting them, or he's stacking them up, or he's doing something with them. He loves gold. He's rich, and he loves his gold. Wow. You may not be like Scrooge McDuck. You may have just a few pennies to rub together, but you could be as covetous as Scrooge McDuck was. You could be as selfish with that money as Scrooge McDuck was. You can think it's mine, as much as Scrooge McDuck thought with his billions of gold coins. God must take first place when it comes to our money. And if He says, "Release it to me," then release it to Him. If He says, "That's what you owe me," then that's what you give Him. You show Him love in your money. Here's another one. It's in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. "So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions." Woo. Really? All my possessions? This is a little contrary, by the way, to the health and wealth gospel, which says you can get from God if you just know how to manipulate Him properly. But here He says you have to give up all your possessions. So really what Jesus is saying is, and I don't think He meant that for everybody for all time, because when we read the rest of the New Testament, we don't see that law being laid down, that you become a Christian, you give all your money to the church. Some did in the early church, but not all had to. But here's what's he saying? He's saying, if you're going to follow me, you can't simultaneously be taking care of and following after and building up your supply of your possessions. I would liken that to our pursuit today of comfort. If Jesus had said it, maybe today he would say, you can't follow me if you aren't willing to give up all your comfort. Because we love our comfort, don't we? And so it could be social comfort that people like me and I get along with them. And so I'm not willing to risk that to speak up and tell my story about Jesus Christ because I'm afraid of losing my social comfort. Okay? It might be material comfort. It might be the comforting relationships or comfortable relationships with other people. I really need to be willing to give up my comfort if God's going to come first. Because his call to me might be to go do something, what? Uncomfortable. More than likely it will, in one dimension or another. Be uncomfortable. And so if Jesus comes first, I have to be willing to surrender my comfort to him. Now let's get practical. How would you know what the first priority in your life is? Now we have to be very careful. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we sit here and we say, well, you know, oh, I'm sure I love God first. I'm sure he's first place and he's got first priority in my life. I'm sure I made that decision. God will be first in everything. Your heart may be deceiving you because your heart may be trying to cover up the covetousness and sin and selfishness that really exists in your life. I suggest you do another test. The first one is look at your calendar. And I would ask you to look at your calendar and determine how could you demonstrate through your calendar that God has first place in your life. In other words, the way you spend your time tells us an awful lot about what your first priority is. Is it all about you? Is it just doing what makes you comfortable? Is it serving yourself, your family, and your friends? Is it serving your job? Or are there chunks of your time that are clearly spent doing nothing but serving your God, reading his word, encouraging other Christians, spending time in prayer, being involved in worship? You know, if you're only here once every 4 weeks and you could be here 4 out of 4, I think it would be okay for God to point out to you that he's not the first priority of your life. Don't you? You may not like it, maybe uncomfortable for you, but I think it would be okay for him to do that. Why? Because your time, the way you're spending your time on Sunday morning is clearly telling a story about what your priorities are. How about some of you who still have these? Do people still have checkbooks? I mean, even if it's online, you know, you check it and you find out what your bank balance is. I still have a checkbook. I still write paper checks. Do some of you still do that? Dave writes paper checks. Now, I pay bills online. I pay a lot of bills online because that's convenient. Saves me 50 cents and a lot of aggravation. I pay a lot of bills online. But there's some bills, like my church, my tithe to the church. That's not a bill. My tithe to the church, other things. They're all written by check. Okay? Written by check. But if you looked at my checkbook, it includes not only the ones that I wrote out, but of course it includes the money that came out of my checkbook for, you know, direct deposits and all those other things that went to other places. I wonder if you could tell where my heart belongs, what's first priority, by looking at my checkbook. I look at my checkbook. I wonder if you could find out what's first priority by looking in my garage. I wonder if you could find out what's first priority in my life by looking in my house. There are things that we could that give away what's really important to us. It's our money. It's our possessions. Those things kind of betray what our real priorities are. If I were to ask your children, what's the number one priority in your life? What does mom or dad love more than anything else? I wonder what they tell me. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart may not be able to tell accurately and truthfully what's number one priority in your life. How about a Christian friend? What would they say is the number one priority of your life? The first decision you need to make as a Christian is the decision that Jesus, that God, will be number one in my life. And I may think that I've made that decision, but in fact, there's some real adjustment in the focus of my life, in the way I'm spending my time and my money, in the way I'm serving my God, that I need to adjust. And so that's the next application. If in fact I do make this decision, or I have made this decision, God will be number one. He'll be my first priority. Then am I now in line with my priorities? Tom Landry said, I determine my priorities in life. You've got to determine what your priority is as a Christian if you're going to be successful. But it's not enough just to determine the priorities. You then need to live by it. 1 Samuel chapter 24, you may remember the story. It's David. David's out in the wilderness, and he's being pursued by Samuel, the king. And David eludes him and cries out to him as Saul is out. He's up in the mountain. And he says, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog. After a flea. In other words, he said, what is the great king of Israel with all that he must do, all the responsibility that he has? What's he doing out here looking for a dead dog and a flea? That's what David said. So that's all. He said, I'm no more important to him than that. I'm no more important to his kingdom, no more significant than a dead dog and a flea. And yet, look, he's bringing his army out here and spending weeks of his time trying to find me. In other words, David was accusing Saul of filling his life with worthless pursuits. Wow. How many of us are chasing what in the end will be dead dogs and fleas? How many of us are involved in worthless pursuits because we have not put the priority of God number one in our life? So here, the world is dying around us. And what's our priority? You trying to furnish your house? Come up with enough money for a nice vacation? Build up your retirement fund? Create a little bit more comfort for you and your kids? What's your first priority? The Bible says that we will know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth can set us free. Jesus has told us the truth. And you can be free from anxiety and confusion and the complexity of life by making a simple decision. Jesus, from this point on, you will be number one. God, you will be my first priority. And I will figure out how to make sure that you are first in every area of my life. That's a decision every Christian needs to make. And if you don't make it, your life as a Christian is going to be complicated, complex, frustrating, filled with trouble and anxiety that it doesn't need to have. For Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things, food and shelter, will be given unto you. God will take care of those who put him first. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now, Jesus, we want to thank you for speaking truth to us and speaking it to us plainly, for not making it just a little bit comfortable for us. Thank you, Jesus, for saying to us that there is only one priority that's the right priority for our life. And so I pray, Father, through the grace that you've given to us in Jesus Christ, to let us see ourselves the way you see us. What is our first priority? Now, there are other priorities that we're going to have, Lord, but they all have to be subject to that first priority. What is that first priority? Show us, Lord, and if it's not where it should be, convict us that we put Jesus first, that we put you first, that we love you above all things. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'll be here at the front. We always end our service with a time of public response, personal opportunity for you to say, I'll receive Christ as my Savior. I'll follow Jesus in the waters of baptism. I'll unite with the church. I'll rededicate or recommit my life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to slip out from where you are in just a moment. Music will be playing quietly in the background. And as we do that, we invite you to slip forward, take my hand and say, Pastor Mark, I've got a decision I'm ready to make. Come right now.